Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of John, or the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 12 through 24. And if you care to follow along, you can find it on page 1059 in your sanctuary Bible. If you're here today and you do not have a Bible of your own, we invite you to take the Bible in front of you, underneath the chair, or in the pew before you. And then as you read God's word, you will draw closer to Him, and He will draw near to you. So it's the Gospel of John, 8th chapter, beginning verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged Him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." Amen.
The book of John contains seven very important statements of Jesus, known as the seven I ams. Seven statements that Jesus made about himself that are all prefaced with the words, "I am." The first of the seven appears in John chapter 6. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." You may recall from Communion Sunday back in October that John chapter 7 finds Jesus at the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. At the end of that feast, there was a ceremony of water pouring. The pouring of the water was symbolic of the place and the value and the centrality of water in life. On that last day of the feast, we're told that Jesus stood up and he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Another feature of this festival was the lighting of these four large golden lamps on the outside of the temple walls. It was said that light from these lamps illuminated every courtyard in the city of Jerusalem. There was singing and dancing and songs of praise to God the entire night, all the way until the sun came up the next morning. It was at this feast, amid the lights, that Jesus made his second of these seven declarations. He said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, whenever Jesus made a bold statement like this, or made some bold assertion, if there were Pharisees around, you could almost always count on their opposition. And this was no exception. In verse 13, we see the Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your witness is not valid." your testimony is not valid. Now, the Old Testament required that at least two witnesses come forward for capital crimes. One witness was not enough to convict a defendant. You needed to have at least two. Now, Jesus is fully aware of this law and this requirement. He knows, generally speaking, that one could not make such a claim for oneself without being substantiated by at least two other people, or you would fall under this very charge. But he's saying that even though the law requires two witnesses to substantiate such a claim, his claim is still valid and true, even if no one else bears witness. Why is this? Well, the answer is in verse 14. Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards." There are two key points here. The first one is that there was no human being that could testify as to Jesus' true origin. No person could possibly possess such knowledge. Only Jesus could testify of his true origin, and so he did. Second is that in reality, there were two witnesses to what Jesus claimed, and they were as reliable as witnesses can possibly be. Verse 16, "But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own word, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." So, Mr. Pharisees, you have your two witnesses: myself, one sent by the Father in heaven, and the Father himself who sent me to the earth. The Father testifies on behalf of the Son. The Son testifies on behalf of himself. It doesn't get any better than that. Now, you would think that given Jesus' ability to answer every question, every objection, every argument that the Pharisees ever tossed at him, though he had no formal religious or legal training, and they had both, given the fact that he had turned water into wine, raised dead people, fed 5,000 hungry people with five loaves and two small fish, caused the lame to walk, and restored sight to the blind, given the fact that the temple guards sent by the Pharisees to arrest Jesus and bring him back, they came back and said, "No man ever spoke like this man." Given all this, you would think that the Pharisees would at least be interested in doing some further research to test whether or not the claims might be really true. But what do? They insult him. Verse 19. Then they asked him, "Where is your father?" Kind of like a father would say to his teenage son, or another father, maybe the kid's done something that is clearly wrong, and so they say, "Where's your father? You know, I want to talk to him." But they're not asking because they really care where Jesus' father is. They're mocking him. Now, to question a man's paternity in those days meant exactly the same as it would mean in these days. It was a rude, direct, vicious insult. Jesus says that they know neither him nor his father. In fact, if you really knew me, you would know my father also. Not knowing either of us, it shows that you know neither of us. Verse 21, Jesus says, "I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." Now, notice the word sin is in the singular. They will die in the sin of rejection of what Jesus claimed about himself. In fact, there is no sin that a human being can commit that is not forgivable by God, with one exception: this one. There is no forgiveness for the sin of rejection of the testimony and person of Jesus Christ, because there is no other basis of forgiveness. That's the only basis of forgiveness that there is. To reject what he said about himself is to reject him. To reject him as the light of the world, as the bread of life, as the way, the truth, and the life, as the resurrection and the life, as the one who will raise us at the last day. Or as he goes on to say, or as it says in verse 36 of John 3, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Just couldn't get any clearer than that. Well, you have to give the Pharisees credit for stamina in the face of total defeat. Apparently, no one told them that when you swing at the ball and miss for the third time, you're supposed to go back to the dugout. But they have a follow-up question, verse 22. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? Well, this is more insulting than the question about his father. You see, taking one's life in the eyes of a Jewish person was one of the most despicable of all human sins. They believed that there was a place in the lowest recesses of hell that were reserved for those kind of people. Notice Jesus doesn't even interact with it. He doesn't really even respond to it. He continues in verse 23, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Direct? Yes. Harsh? Yes. True? Yes. What they wanted to hear? No. What they needed to hear? Yes. What we need to hear, too. In fact, what everyone needs to hear. Because you see, Jesus is not just a light of the world. He is not just one of many lights of the world. He is the only light of the world. Or as it says in John chapter 1, verse 9, he is the true light. So, back to verse 12, where we started. I am the light of the world, said Jesus. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light for the whole world. And whoever commits their life to him, whoever believes, and that's key, whoever believes what he said and what he testified about himself, such people are granted life. Whoever follows Jesus never has to walk in darkness, and they will possess the light that leads to life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the clarity of your word, which leaves no doubt whatsoever that life eternal comes when one takes Jesus at his word, when they believe his testimony about himself, that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that he would give his life a ransom for many, and that whoever believes in him has eternal life, and who does not believe is already condemned. We thank you for this good and powerful news that transforms. And as we come to the Lord's table, may it be an encouraging reminder to us of what Jesus has done for us and what our acceptance of that does for us as well. We pray in his name. Amen.